And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask Him, God, anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. Now, the first part of this whole chapter, 1 John, is talking about sin and confessing sin. The whole thing. It's talking about sin and having no sin in your life, being pure and clean and holy. The whole thing of 1 John. Then after we get here, it says that if, and this is the confidence. In other words, if our hearts don't condemn us, in fact, I had a man tell me the other day that, I've had several people tell me this, they hate to come to my church because all I do is preach condemnation. I've had several people tell me they will never come back to my church because all I do is preach condemnation. Well, let me tell you something. The Word of God clearly says, if your heart condemn you not. What's condemning them? Their heart. In other words, if I was in here today and I was preaching, you're going to hell if you're not a tither. It might offend some of you. But if you're a tither and you give God 10% plus, it wouldn't bother you at all. You say, he's just telling what the Word said. If I said, God says He hates lying, and if you're lying, you're sinning. Well, the Lord can bring a man under conviction of a little tiny sin like He did a while ago, and instead of letting that condemn him, He said, Lord, I'm sorry, I ain't going to do that no more. And so He ain't condemned for that. But if He says, I'm going to keep doing that anyway, God. Well, that's your heart's going to condemn you for that, isn't it, A.A.? Isn't it amazing how that if our hearts condemn us not, then we have this confidence in God. And this is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know healing is in His will. Well, that's why I stood the ground with Jenna and her family. And we know that if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Verse 16 and 17. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. Now that's kind of scary. Stop and think about that. Let me ask you a question. When you say there is a sin unto death, do any of you know of any sin in the Bible that was a sin unto death? Oh, Ananias and Sapphira. In other words, a man and his wife, members of the church, had a piece of land, and they both agreed together, let's sell this piece of land for, let's just say 30 pieces of silver. The scripture doesn't tell us what, but I'll just put 30 pieces of silver. So they go out and they sell it for 30 pieces of silver. And so they say, okay, now then, let's go down and let's give the money to the Lord. Let's give it to Peter and tell him we're giving all the money we got for the land, but let's really only give him $20 pieces of silver, and we'll keep 10 for ourselves, and we'll look so good. So what is that? Is that lying? They say God hates lying? So they go down and Ananias comes in and says, Peter, my wife and I sold this piece of land and we got 20 pieces of silver for it. We want to give it all to the church. And Peter says, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Do you think God knows everything you do? Yeah, you can't hide nothing from the King. Why did you decide to lie to God? And because you've lied, said Ananias, the land was yours. You didn't have to sell it. You could have kept it. God didn't care. But you could have given $20 or all of it. You could have given anything you wanted to, and God would have been okay with it. But you've lied to God. Now then, you're going to die. And bam, Ananias dropped dead right there. Right in church. Three men come, picked him up, and carried him out, and turned him out in the field, and dug a ditch, and buried him. And 3 hours later, they come back in just as his wife walked in. Oh, he said, Sapphira, Ananias said, y'all sold the land for 20 pieces of silver. Is that right? And you give it all to God? She said, yes, that's the price. Peter said, why have you and your husband decided to lie to God? Now the men that just got back that buried your husband, they'll bury you. And bam, she fell dead. And it says, great fear fell upon the church. Do you know if that were to happen in the church today, there would be a few people get scared of God. You know it? When's the last time you saw somebody get sick and afflicted and die dead in the church? Have you ever seen that? He must be pretty merciful, huh? Do you think any of us have done the same thing since Ananias did that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's many of us. Many people have done that. Many people have lied to God about their tithe, all kinds of stuff. And God don't kill them. But he said in that case, that day, that was a sin unto death. It killed both of them, didn't it? It killed both of them. Now then, he says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now, right here, let me tell you about another man that died one day that committed a sin unto death. I didn't know these principles for a long time in my life, but about, 18 years ago, something like that, 17, 18 years ago, a good friend of mine got sick. I went to see him, and when I went to see him, he had a brain tumor. And when I talked to the doctor, I said, "Doc," I said, "how's he doing?" He said, we're going to send him down to San Antonio to a specialist." And he said, "He's got huge brain tumors in his brain." And I said, "Okay." So I mean, while I'm sitting there, the guy's just sitting there looking out the window. He don't know me or nothing. And he's only 56, I believe it was at the time, 54, 56, whatever it was. And he looks like he's 96. So they sent him to San Antonio. They took the top of his head off. And the doctor took some of the big tumors out. And then he put his head back on and he says, you know, except God intervene, this man's going to die. See, what this man, doctor, didn't know, God had already intervened. See, he didn't know that God's the one who put those brain tumors in there in the first place. Most people, I didn't know this at that time. I had no knowledge of this. So when they sent the man back to the town he lived in, I took off on a Monday. I was still working back in those days for a company. I took off and drove 3 hours to this man's place because he'd been a great friend of mine when I was a young man. And I prayed for him. When I walked in, I met this woman. When I met this woman, I shook her hand. I said, "How are you today?" And she said, "I'm fine." I said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm his wife." I said, "Oh." I said, "I knew his first two wives." I said, "Are you number three?" And she said, "Yes, I'm the third one." I said, "How long have you been married to him?" She said, "A little over 10 years. I said, "Where do you all go to church?" She said, "At the First Baptist Church in a certain town." I said, "Oh, how many times have you been?" I don't know why that came out. She said, "Oh, maybe five or six." I said, "You mean this is the middle of the year? Y'all have only been to church five or six times this year?" I said, "He used to be a Sunday school teacher. He was a youth leader." And she said, "Well, no, Thurman, we hadn't been five or six times this year. We've only been five or six times in the 10 years we've been married." Did God tell his children to go to church? Oh, yeah. And if you know to go and you don't go, he said, "I'm going to punish you." Most people don't know that, but it's written in the book. It's written in Hebrews 10:26, if you haven't read that lately. But anyway, that's where you'll find that. So anyway, I thought, well, okay, I'm not going to get through to this woman, so I'm just going to pray over him. So I prayed over him for 4 hours. And after 4 hours, I thought, well, I'll go home. On the way home, I praised God all the way home, thinking that he's healed. And that was on Monday. Thursday, they called me and said, he died. So I went down Sunday, they had his funeral. 56 years old, 55 or 56. I looked at this young man laying there in the casket, been a good friend of mine. I ran the hills of the country, played with him, you know, went hunting with him, done all kinds of things with him when he was young, when I was young. And there he is laying there dead. So after we put him in the ground on the way home, I said, "Lord, you put me in the healing ministry." At that time, I was not doing what I'm doing now. I'm just doing this basically one-on-one. I said, "Lord, you put me in this healing business. I've seen you heal many people. I did all these things for this man that I've been doing for all the others, and I've seen you heal many people. I want to know what I did wrong, why you did not answer my prayer. I know you said that if I have a sin in my heart, you will not answer my prayer. So, Lord, I want to find out what I did wrong so I can confess the sin, because I don't want to see this happen again." That should only make sense to us as men, right? I mean, when we pray, we want the King to hear our prayer, right? Amen. And so I pleaded with God for 3 hours on the way home. I nearly got home. Every time I'd ask him, I'd say, "Lord, thank you for the answer." For 3 hours, he had not said a word. Then all of a sudden, just before I got home, he said, "Son, you didn't do anything wrong." He said the problem was his. and said, you'll find the answer to your question in John 15:2. Well, let's see what John 15:2 says after I tell you that story. John 15:2. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will be produce even more fruit. So if you don't produce fruit and you're one of his children, what will he do to your branch? Cut it off? What does that mean? He kills you. That's what it means. He kills you. Somebody said, now wait a minute, I have a real problem. God would never kill me. He's a loving God. Let's read that in the King James, Dave. See what it says there. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. Where does he take you away to? I don't know where you go, but you go somewhere. I hope he didn't go to hell, don't you? But he took him away. Now then, when you realize that what God does, and then when people says, you know, but God would never kill me. Well, I got a special verse in Deuteronomy 32:39 and Isaiah 45:5, 6, and 7. I want you to see. And then we're going to take a break. But I want you to see something here in Deuteronomy 32:39. See what this says. I mean, you know, this put fear in my heart when I read this in the book. He means what he says. It's written. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I what? You ask the average Christian people, do you believe God would kill you? You know what kind of answer you're going to get? No, that's absolutely right. No, God would never kill me. He would never kill me. But the Word says, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive, I wound, and I heal. Now, I like the part where he makes you alive and he heals you, don't you? We could have left the other two out, didn't we? But he didn't leave them out, did he, Joseph?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, The Lord Will Make Thy Plagues Wonderful, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.